So if you have your Bible this morning, would you join me in the book of Psalms? We'll start with a very familiar scripture, Psalms 23. And if you just hold your spot there, like I'll give you a few scripture references that if you want to write those down for time's sake, we won't turn to them all. But I do want to, we'll have them available for you on the screen. And as you're turning to the 23rd Psalm, again, if you just hold your spot there, and I will join you momentarily. I did want to mention, yesterday I wrote a little blog article on our website, so I'll give you our website, but it had to do with Israel and what's gone on last couple weeks. Not only I shared my perspective, but also shared a prayer and just a little background. So if you're interested in reading that, it's just called Peace in the Middle East. And so it's on the website. I'll give you that. It's in your bulletin, but for if you're listening now, it's just the initials of the church and the word family, clmfamily.org, clmfamily.org. And if you go to the drop-down menu where it says from the pastor, you just click that. You'll see two or three articles there, notes from the message. But the one, Peace in the Middle East, is there if you'd like to check that out, okay? If you found the 23rd Psalm, would you join me this morning as we make our confession together and share the message this morning together? Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Sound great. Before I read that verse, I'll give you a little background here. Just as I was praying, actually I was out, had something in mind already prepared to share of a different message this week. And last week I was just out walking one afternoon, and this was just started getting so impressed into my heart. I share on Wednesday night, I felt like God was downloading something in my spirit. I said, Lord, I hope I get back in time to write this down. I don't want to lose it. And just thinking about all that's going on in the world, not only in the world, but for us as individuals, but certainly the world can seem like a dark place when we see all the evil and suffering that's caused by sin. But it's not just the world, because in our own individuals' lives, we have our days or times or even seasons where it can seem dark, don't we? How many of you can relate to say, yeah, I've had a dark day or two? Can any of you? So we all have an idea. Let me show you that from the psalm there where it says in the 23rd psalm. In fact, verse 4, very familiar scripture, that first part of that says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So a shadow is a dark time, but several translations, as I was looking this up, actually translate that phrase, even though I walk through the darkest valley, the shadow of death. So it's that dark time, that dark season. And this morning, the message that I'd like to share is how God wants us to live in those dark times. And so it's just simply this. Grow in the dark. God wants us to grow in the dark. I was thinking about it again even this morning. I think it was about unanimous. We've all had our dark days and times that we go through. If I've got to go through a dark time for whatever reason, I don't want to just go through it. I want to grow through it. I want to grow. And so this morning, if you want to write these down, I want to share two practical ways we can grow in the dark. And then at the end of the message, I have two questions I'd like to ask that we can ask ourselves if you want to write those down. So that'll be coming up here right at the end of the message. But let me, if you want to stay in the book of Psalms, I'll join you back there in just a moment. But let me read you a few verses from Philippians chapter 2 if you want to write them down. We'll put the words on the screen beginning in verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We each, if we know the Lord, we have to live our own life out with the Lord. I can't walk your salvation out for you. You can't walk mine out for me, but we walk and we work out our own salvation because we got to know God personally for ourselves. So work out your own salvation, and that is a process of growth. So he goes on, he says this in verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will, that in other words, he gives us the desire and to do. He gives us the desire and the ability to do for his good pleasure. Now, this is a good indicator of how we're growing here. Verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing. Lord, help me. Help us, yes. Do all things without complaining and disputing, arguing. Verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault. Let me pause there just a second. He's not saying we have to never complain or argue to be a Christian. He's saying work it out so that your Christian testimony shines by not complaining and arguing. So he says that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. That is God's word and Jesus, the word of life. So he says, I want you to shine like a bright light in a dark and perverse world, a dark generation. I like to say it like this. God wants us to glow in the dark. Y'all know what glow in the dark is? So we grow in the dark, and as we grow in the dark, then we can also glow in the dark with the light of Jesus in us. Do you see how that can apply not just individually, but in our world, so to speak? Because there is darkness around us. And then let me give you one more, and then I'll join you in Psalms if you want to write it down. Ephesians chapter 5. Because we can't grow in the dark, and we can't glow in the dark until the Lord transforms us into light. And this is so important. Ephesians chapter 5, two verses, verses 8 and 9. For you were, would you say were? You were once darkness. Notice he doesn't say you were in the dark. He says you were darkness. But now, thank God, you are light in the Lord. Walk or live as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Thank God for his Holy Spirit. Because God's Spirit, first of all, convicts us of our sin. What is sin? Here's a simple definition. Breaking God's commandments. Whether he tells us to do something and we don't, or he says don't do something and we do, that's sin. And the issue is not that we just break the commandment. The issue is we have sin in our heart. That's why we need a transformation of heart. And so the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, and the root sin is unbelief, Jesus said. So he convicts us of our sin, but he also draws us to the truth of the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin is death, separation from God, that spiritual death, and one day physical death. But he also draws us to the truth of the good news, that even though my sin separates me from a holy God and I'm under condemnation and in line of judgment, separation from God, he loved me so much, Jesus suffered and died on the cross to pay for all my sins, all my wrongs. He bore my judgment. He literally tasted hell in my place so I don't have to. And now I can believe and taste and see that the Lord is good. He convicts us. He draws us to the truth that Jesus suffered and died on the cross, and what he did for me is good enough to God the Father. The price has been paid in full. He came back to life 3 days later, and he's reigning on high now as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And all I have to do is just be willing to turn from my way to his and believe in my heart and confess him as Lord. Is he your Lord this morning? Has he drawn you, and has he convicted you, and is he indwelling you? Now, if he has and you've responded, then you are light in the Lord. And now he says, live it out. So grow in the dark. So how do we grow then? Would you tell someone next to you, grow in the dark? I want to ask you to turn, if you're there in Psalm 23, would you turn to Psalm 73, the 73rd Psalm? And we'll look at these two ways of how we can grow in the dark times grow in the dark. So how do we grow in the dark? I've thought about what we might consider darkness. How do we grow in the dark of disappointment? How do we grow in the dark of hurt? How do we grow in the dark of loss and loneliness? How do we grow in the dark of sickness? I believe that's important. I want to be healed when I'm sick, but how can I grow in that time? How can we grow in doubt and confusion? Here are two ways. Let me read these verses up. We'll ultimately get to the last verse as the first step, but I want to give you a little background. Psalm 73, beginning in verse 1. Because Asaph wrote this song out of what he perceived, that's very important. He was seeing things, but he wasn't seeing them accurately. What he saw looked like it was prosperous to live ungodly, and it didn't pay to live godly. He saw the prosperity of the wicked. He saw how it seemed like it was futile to try to live godly, and it almost caused him to slip in his faith. So this is what he says in verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Verse 16. Before I read you that, here's what he said. He said, they've got their bills paid. They're healthy. They're prosperous. They got everything going their way. And the Lord gives me a spanking every morning. That's how he saw it. And verse 16, he says, when I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. That's a good place to be, isn't it? To go into the Lord's presence. And he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. Do you see how we can broaden our perspective. Our perspective is our reality, whether it's accurate or not. But if our perspective gets so much on the dark and on the problem and on the devil and on whatever, I need to maybe back out and have a broader perspective by focusing on the Lord and the truth of His Word. It'll give us an accurate perspective. It'll give us an eternal perspective over a temporary perspective. And he said, when I saw their end, I saw it in a different light. So then he says this in the next verse, in verse 18. He says, surely you've set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. And then the last verse, and this is the main point here of this particular one, verse 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. Would you say that with me? But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works. So how can we grow in the dark? Number one, grow closer to the Lord. Grow closer to the Lord. This verse says, it's good for me to draw. I went through a time and it almost, I felt like I was stumbling in my faith because what I was looking at was I didn't understand it and I couldn't put it together. And I had to just get back into the presence of the Lord. I had to come back into the sanctuary of God, and He gave me an accurate perspective. And I'm telling you as a testimony, it's good to draw near to God. Now, here's the key. We go through those dark times. It can seem like God is not close because we don't kind of sense Him, see Him, feel Him. But if you think about drawing closer to the Lord, we're actually drawing closer to the light, aren't we? The Lord is my light and my salvation. So to get closer to the Lord is to get closer to the light. But it's also getting closer to love. Think about that. God is love. So if I get closer to the Lord, I'm getting closer to love, to the one who is love. I get closer to the Lord and I'm drawing closer to the one who is my comforter. If I'm hurting, I need His comfort. If I'm weak and I don't know where to turn, I don't have strength, then I draw closer to the one who is my helper. Isn't that what Jesus said? If I'm sick or I'm injured, I draw closer to the one who is my healer. So that's why I've come to always, it's like now when I pray for people's healing, and I do, and I know God is a healer, but I pray that they would not just be healed or that I would be healed. I pray that people are going to be drawn to the Lord through it. That's growing in the dark. So be drawn closer to our healer, to be drawn closer to the deliverer, to be drawn closer to the provider and to the protector. That's why it's so important to draw closer to the Lord. Grow in the dark. Will you say that with me? Grow in the dark. And then how do we grow in the dark? Number one, we grow closer to the Lord. So real quickly, how do we grow closer to the Lord? Would you turn to Psalm 62? One verse here. Psalm 62 and verse 8. Psalm 62, 8 says this. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. That's, I love that phrase. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. We grow closer to the Lord one way with genuine prayer. And I want to emphasize that word, genuine. Genuine prayer. Because I've prayed before, and all I did was mouth my unbelief. Or I mouthed the right words, but I had the unbelief in my heart. And I didn't come away from that prayer time unburdened. See, God wants us to pour our heart out. He wants to us to unburden our heart by casting all of our cares on Him. But if I don't trust Him, I won't do that. That's why it says trust Him and then go ahead and pour your heart out. He's a refuge for you. He's not going to hurt your heart. He's not going to take what you give Him and do something, expose with it, make fun of you. He's not going to bring up your past and use it against you. He wants you to cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Brothers and sisters, we must persevere in prayer. And here is a key, with thanksgiving until we transfer that burden. And until, as the New Testament says in Philippians, we persevere in prayer with thanksgiving until the Lord gives us His peace and we receive and experience the peace of God that passes all understanding. Now, I know there are situations, people, things we face in life. I don't want to use the word things, but we go through these times where our hearts are very heavy. But God doesn't want us to live that way. We come before Him, and God is not all, He's not the microwave God. He's not just, well, give me a quick fix, God, so I can just keep on doing what I'm doing. How about making a little time to be with God? A little undistracted time. Because see, the devil hits us with WMDs, right? Weapons of mass distraction. So to focus on Him, give Him some time, and depending on the nature of what it is, unburden my heart, cry, pour it out to Him until I receive His peace. But that's how we grow closer to Him. Could it be that we can use this time in a good way to get closer to God? Wouldn't that be good if we get closer to Him through it? So we also grow closer to the Lord through worship. I'll read you a couple verses in Psalm 42. Psalms 42. This is so important. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Here, this psalmist didn't even know why he was so discouraged and why he was down. Often we do. But whether we do or we don't, he didn't just drown in that quicksand of self-pity. It's all right to have the feelings, but notice what he did. He's telling himself, hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance or presence. And then one more verse in that psalm, verse 8. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night, notice that, His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. We grow closer to the Lord with worship. Please don't discount the power of worship with Scripture-based songs. The psalmist confessed his faith in God, he prayed his faith, and he sang his faith in a night season. That's how we grow in the dark. How many of you ever had a song in the night? Have you ever had an experience where a song of God really ministered to you in a dark season? Thank you, Jesus, for a song in the night. That's when it is well with my soul. That's when, even though I'm going through this, Lord, I've got you. I'm so blessed. So to grow in the dark, to confess this, to realize that He is my source, I'm not going through this alone. Yea, though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The whole psalm changes right there. Before it was, the Lord is my shepherd, he. But when he went through that dark valley, he changed it and said, you. Now it's you. You anoint my head with oil. You prepare a table before me right in the very presence of my enemies. So worship and prayer. And then one more. If you want to write it down, I'll give it to you. It's found in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2. Because we also grow closer to the Lord by listening to the Word and thinking on the Word. That's so important. How many of you know the difference between hearing and listening? So when you, like when your wife asks you, did you listen? Or did you hear me? What she's saying is, did you listen? I heard you say something. I don't know what you said. But to listen, to tune in to God's Holy Spirit, the words He inspired. So when we listen to His Word, we give Him our attention, but then we think on it, we meditate on it, we dwell on it, and it becomes personal to us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, we read these words, 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2. He says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all anger, all malice, all deceit, any hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Lay aside that. Or in our day, evil tweeting, texting, Facebook, and whatever. Lay that all aside. And then verse 2, as newborn babes desire. Would you say desire? Yeah, crave it. The pure milk of the Word, speaking of God's Word. Why? That you may grow thereby. So we grow closer to the Lord through listening to His Word, through thinking on it, sharing it with others. I'm telling you, I believe the key to all of the blessings that are ours in Christ, the spiritual blessings, we unlock those blessings to enjoy them by growing closer to the Lord and growing more like Him. And that's the second point. So to grow in the dark, we grow closer to the Lord, and then we also grow more like Him. And there's a scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll read you those verses in just a moment. Verses 14 and 15. Before I do, just again, a little background. God originally created us in His image and likeness, didn't He? But see, sin damaged God's image in us. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created. Humans have an incredible ability to create, don't we? Think of what's been created just in the last 100 years. Oh, my goodness. The technology, everything has gone. We've gone from walking in a camel and donkey to flying through its outer space. So creativity. And that's good, but we know sometimes sin will cause us to use our creativity for something bad, don't we? Somebody can try to steal your identity and get into your account by creativity. So that's how it's misused, but that's what sin does. But see, everyone who comes to the Lord, He takes us where we are, and then remember, He works in us to give us the desire and power to do His will, and He begins transforming us back into His image and likeness if we are in Christ. And that's a lifelong process. But we have a part in cooperating God with that process. So through the perfect work, ministry, and sacrifice of Jesus, He makes us new, and then He's conforming us into His image. This is what the scripture says in Ephesians 4, 14 and 15. He says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Do you see why we need discernment in our day? We've got to know the truth so we recognize what's false. Verse 15, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. See, that's where the head of the body speaks of fellowship. We grow more and more. The Bible is godly wisdom in the context of relationships, first with God and one another. So it's we live by scriptural truth for our relationships, and we grow closer. Just like we need worship, prayer, God's word, we need relationships and godly fellowship to grow in Christ-likeness. God designed us that way. So to grow closer to the Lord, we also need to have fellowship together, which helps us grow more like the Lord. Remember what the psalmist said? I almost slipped. It was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. And I was with the Lord in his presence. I was with his people in worship. In just a moment, I'll close with two questions if you want to write them down. I don't believe every bad experience we have in life is necessarily ordered by God. I've learned in life, life can be hard and people can be mean. God does not ordain evil. But I also believe that God is great enough that when we go through those dark times, that he can use them. And here is how. Remember, how can I grow in the dark? God can use these experiences, first of all, to help us, I would say, reevaluate and adjust. That's the word. Reevaluate and adjust our priorities and our focus. To reevaluate and adjust our priorities and our focus. Because we can just be going along in life and we can start putting our trust and our hope and our confidence into someone or something rather than God. And God can turn that a little bit to where we say, I'm going through this now. I realize the arm of human flesh will fail me. Thank God for everyone who has good intentions, but I need God on this. And so we reevaluate our priorities, or maybe we need to adjust our focus. I've been so consumed with the bad and the evil and the devil and the problems and the tests and the trial and the darkness that I haven't focused on God, and maybe I just need to get my focus back on the one who is greater and to give him glory. And that will lift me. So I use that. I quote the word. Remember what the psalmist did. Tell yourself, hope in God. I'm going to praise him again. My life isn't over. The worst situation, I'm going to be in his presence praising him anyway. So quote that word. Sing a song in the night and get around some brothers and sisters to encourage you in your faith so we can reevaluate and adjust our priorities. I believe God can use these experiences to help us live by faith rather than our feelings. Because in that dark time, my feelings want to go crazy. And my understanding is so limited. And maybe the Lord wants to free me from being controlled by my feelings and lean in on my own understanding and walk by faith and trust him. He understands whether I do or not. So God can use these experiences to help us learn of his faithfulness. I know it's a play on words in English, but sometimes it's the test that produces the testimony. It's the mess that gives us a message. Grow in the dark. And not just that I learn God's faithfulness, I know God wants us to testify to others of his faithfulness too. So that's how we grow in the dark. And then also, I believe God can use these occasions to prepare us for further ministry. Joseph went through a rough time, didn't he? Talking about a dark, years of dark from a human perspective. He didn't see it that way, but God was with him. It wasn't easy, it wasn't quick, but it was not wasted. And God took him from a 17-year-old who was maybe getting a little special treatment at home and prepared him so that when he stood up as prime minister of Egypt, he wasn't using that for his own advantage or his gain. He used it to save many people alive. But it came out of that time that he went through all those years. You see how it can be used for good? That was growing in the dark. So let me give you these two questions if you want to write them down. The first one will determine the second. So when I'm going through the dark time, if I really want to grow, here's a question I hope that you would ask. I've asked myself even recently on this. Do I trust the goodness and greatness of God? Do I trust the goodness of God that His heart is for me? He sacrificed His Son on the cross for me. He's not out to get me. I like to think of it, if He was out to get me, I'd have been got. And then do I trust His greatness? Someone may have a heart to help, but they might not have the goods. They might have not have the ability. God has the goods. So do I trust the goodness and greatness of God? Not saying people aren't mean, not saying life isn't hard, but do I trust through it all the goodness and greatness of God? And then here is the second question. If I do, then Father, how can I grow closer to You? Father, how can I grow closer to You in this? If I got to go through it, for whatever reason, I don't want to just go through it. I want to grow through it. We can grow in the dark. If we trust God and do our part to grow closer to Him and grow more like Him. I hope that's something that you can use today. And if not, if you hold on to it, you might need it in the future. Lord, help us. So right now, if that's your heart, would you just take a moment right now and just go to the Lord and say, Lord, I do trust Your goodness. I do trust Your greatness. I want to trust You more. Help me. Lord, I am in a dark time right now, dark day, dark period, dark circumstance, but You are my light. And through it all now, I just want to get closer to You. So how can I grow closer to You through this? Would you just take a moment right now before I close in prayer? Is there anyone who would say, you can just, even if you keep your head bowed, your eyes closed, maybe someone's in a season right now or time that you would say, Brother Rocky, I want you to agree with me in prayer. I want to grow in the dark right now. That's me. Would you just slip up your hand and just hold it up for a moment, please? Thank You. Lord bless you. Thank you. All across. You can put your hands down. Can we just stand together? Lord, I want to thank You for my brothers and sisters. You are faithful and You are good. And I pray that You would meet each one at their place of need right now. And Lord, I ask that You're going to get the glory in this because we're going to grow closer to You. Lord, that's our heart. Would you say this with me? Would you say, Father, I trust Your heart, Your goodness, and Your greatness. How do You want me to grow closer to You in this? Now, Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters. May You lead them by Your Spirit. I pray for testimonies to come through this because You are faithful. It's not just what you do, it's who you are. And you're going to reveal yourself as a good God and you're going to get the glory from it. And we're going to grow in closer to You, but we're also going to grow more like You and we're going to give You praise and testify of Your goodness in Jesus' name.